Shout out to Eddie Gonzalez, too. Eddie will be with us tomorrow for calling out Shaq on some of his stupidity.
Shaq just, he just kind of be saying stuff sometimes, man. What did Eddie say? I missed it. He just in general, he does
well,
it?
Well, no, because Shaq again trashed Joel for not playing.
Mm.
And Eddie did what I did with KG. I certainly didn't trash KG, but Eddie was like, hold up, bro. You missed a certain you said your toe hurt and you missed a bunch of games
and
kind of laid out like you notoriously fell apart at the end of your career. How are you going to come at Joel Embiid after all these injuries he's had?
Right, and that goes into like what my argument was when we were talking about it. The messenger is fine with Kevin Garnett.
Mm-hmm.
The messenger is not fine with Shaquille O'Neal.
That's
like
facts.
It is not okay. Like you're the guy that said I got hurt on company, not on company time, so I'm going to get better on company time.
Mm-hmm.
So,
that's right. Yeah, that's
so
right.
No, Shaq, like you don't have that G14 classification.
Talk about it.
To talk about Joel Embiid or anybody in that way. But
pipe down, pal. Domas at 40. I think he's just threatened by like every five that is played after him.
I don't know what his deal is half the time.
He is the most insecure, greatest player of all time.
Do you think it's insecurity, or do you think it's he has a expectation and he doesn't waver off of it?
Nope. I think he's insecure about the way his career ended.
Shaq's insecure. You don't throw him in a top 10 list and want to fight you after that.
No, like Shaq, I think Shaq is insecure because of the way his career ended.
Hmm.
He was just traded from place to place to place to place. Like he was no longer an elite player when he was moving. I think he was actually good in Phoenix, but he was not an elite player. Oh, he's brought in to beat Tim Duncan. Didn't work. Couldn't get Phoenix over the top. Couldn't get LeBron a ring in Cleveland. Didn't win with Boston. He was his career just kind of ended. And he is to this day the most physically dominant performer of my lifetime. He's a different type of physically dominant than LeBron James is. But in my lifetime, Shaquille O'Neal is the most physically dominant basketball player I've ever seen. Could he have been tracking towards the greatest of all time? Sure, I guess. Like, I don't know. It's hard at that position. But he was great. And all of those things that Kobe said about him were all true. And he hates that. All of the, you don't take care of yourself. You don't take care of your body. You come in overweight. All of that stuff was true. And he knows it. He wouldn't admit it then. And whether it's because of what happened, I feel like he admitted it prior to Kobe's passing. He certainly has admitted it since. But like he knows that that's all true, and it eats at him to this day. That's why I feel like he acts the way he does.
I disagree with all of that.
That's fine.
I wasn't
saying it to make you agree with it.
I think if you pay attention to Shaquille O'Neal and pay attention to his life, he was brought up by his dad. That's the guy he calls his dad.
Mm-hmm.
He was a military guy.
Mm-hmm.
And his dad treated Shaq the way Shaq treats everybody else. I don't care about you doing what you're doing. You score 50 points on these little high school kids, that's what you should do. You're not getting extra accolades for that. I'm not going to celebrate you or whatever. I need you to do it in college. Oh, don't come to me. And like I said, I've seen his little doc, and it just, the way Shaq presents, like, yeah, you're not getting extra kudos for doing what you're supposed to do. And I think that's, I don't think it's insecurity at all. I think it's a product of how he was brought up and how
I'm calling cap on all of that.
How?
Well, because he was the loudest talker out there.
What you mean?
I'm the most dominant big man of all time. Like, okay, well, isn't that what you're supposed to do then? If you're the biggest dude out here, why is dropping 30 a big deal? Like, okay, because what it sounds like to me is he's not willing to give, as you said, kudos or whatever to people who are doing what they're supposed to be doing. Why do I give kudos to you for doing what you're supposed to be doing? Because, don't give anybody else kudos. Give them to me.
Because because they're not doing what he did. He dominated and won championships. That's what he did. So you get the kudos for that. And I don't disagree. Like, Shaq dominated and won chips.
No, he did. He had a lot of help.
Nobody's saying he didn't.
No, what I'm saying is he had help from a player who is ranked on the greatest of all time.
That's fine.
Higher than he is.
Who's a three-time finals MVP.
That's great. Joel doesn't have that.
It's okay. Okay, all I'm saying
Joel Embiid won an MVP, too. He averaged 30-something points per game last year and the year before and the year before that.
All I'm saying is, in Shaq's mind, and I don't necessarily disagree, don't tell me how great these guys are if they not winning chips.
Yeah, that's not the measurement of greatness.
I'm just saying that's...
It's not.
Okay. I'm just saying that's how he was brought up. You don't... Like, I think that was a lot of the stuff that happened in Orlando and talking to his dad and stuff like that. Hey, you scoring or whatever, but are you winning? You can't beat the Bulls. Yeah, you scoring or whatever. That's the whole thing when he got to L.A. and they couldn't get past Utah. Yeah, you doing all this. Are you winning?
Well, then
Phil Jackson came to him when he got there. Yeah, you're doing all this. You Shaq these on all this other stuff. But look what your hands looking
then
like.
Then that's bad advice from Sergeant Harrison, because you was 4 years into that and you left.
I'm talking and continued in L.A. Jerry West, Phil Jackson, they all tell – Shaq tells the story. They all tell him the same thing. Yeah, you're great. You're doing all this. What's that hand looking like? What's the ring finger looking like? That's how you're going to be measured. And he answered the bell. And he's doing the same thing that was done to him, and he's looking for these guys to answer the bell. I don't see nothing wrong with that. I don't think it's hating.
No. That's not fair, because it's not constructive criticism. He is blasting these players for being out or for being hurt.
I don't agree with that.
That's like if you don't like Domas's game because he's not aggressive enough in the low block. That's fine. Like, you know the game better than I do. Well, I'm going to tell Shaquille O'Neal how to evaluate a center for. But if it's, oh, man, he needs to punch somebody. We've heard Shaq say, well, be tough. Like, oh, Shaq, what you talking about?
I don't disagree with that. And I don't agree with him getting at Joel for being hurt. But when he got at Joel because he said he was shooting too many jump shots, and then he told Joel when they talked, I remember vividly, Joel finally had beat Boston or something like that, and he killed. He had like 40 or something like that. And Shaq was like, hey, man, this is what I expect from you. You are the best big man in the league, one of the most talented big men in the league. I expect you to dominate the way you did tonight. And Joel was like, you're right. Sometimes I understand what he's saying. In this particular case, I don't.
This conversation about Shaq is actually getting under my skin. This idea that he, like, because I know he tells the story. You're 100% right about, I don't know if it's true or not, but the story he told about Phil, where he had to, like, go to Phil's house and get a log out of the water or something.
All right, Shaq. All right, Shaq. Settle down. Settle down,
I don't know
Shaquille.
If that's true at all. Phil took him out to the water and said, go get that log out for me. And Shaq was like, okay. And then I brought it back and he said, no movies, no acting, no none of that stuff, no music. Just go out there and win. Like, all right. Like, again, whether there's any validity to that, I have no idea.
Get a log out of the water.
Isn't that what he said? Didn't he say, so. Like, there's a giant tree trunk in my lake? Go get it out. Shaq was like, okay, I'm going to go get it out. Had to show the level of hard work that I was willing to do. All right, man. This idea, like, it didn't register for Shaq till he got with Phil and Jerry West is stupid. The man was averaging 29 points per game in Orlando.
Yeah, but they wasn't winning. And he was rapping and he was doing all this other stuff.
Yeah, so they weren't winning because Shaq?
Sometimes, I don't disagree with the notion of, like, you're doing all this other stuff, but you're trying, like, Shaq wasn't trying to be a good player. He was trying to be the greatest player of all time. And sometimes you got to put all that stuff that you're doing to the side to focus on being the greatest player that you could be. And once he got with Phil and in 2000, he did that. And he was dominant. And that's when he told his son. And his son said, go win one for dad. When the son was 6 months old. 6 months old, he said, go win it for me. But I don't have any problem.
And dad, go win for me.
And securing the bag, he says he's blasting him because he is jealous and Rudy gets paid $200 million. I don't think not everything comes down to jealousy, man. Not everything comes down to money. Sometimes it's like, no, like,
well,
like it's not always, I'm not saying it's never the case, but when somebody's critical of somebody like Rudy Gobert, like Joel Embiid or something like that, it isn't because they're making a lot of money.
I think in Rudy's all case it is. I think he has a. I think in Rudy's case it is. He, you could be critical of Rudy. Mm-hmm. He brings up Rudy's contract, and he does it kind of in a similar way that you do, or the way that you did yesterday.
Do you think I'm jealous of Rudy's contract?
Well, yeah, we're all jealous of Rudy's contract. Well, that man, man made like $500 million. Like, yes, we are all collectively jealous. I am better at my job than Rudy Gobert is at his. We were looking at this guy on TV yesterday like, this idiot is a billionaire and my bitch ass is working two jobs a day. This isn't fair.
I'm more jealous of Chandler Parsons.
Well,
he right. got a max contract by heart. Why can't I? Why can't I? But it's not jealousy. It's this doesn't make sense. It's not like I hate this guy because he's making money.
No, but Shaq is smarter than that. Like, that's the... It's the game. Like, it's just the way that the game is. Like, it's the game of Utah felt like that's the contract they had to sign him to. Minnesota felt like he was the missing piece for what they were trying to build. What Minnesota did Monday, you got me on that one, but they did it. And it's a lower per year contract. Maybe they feel like Rudy Gobert is a valuable piece to what they're doing. Maybe they feel like that $16 million savings was worth the extra $70 million with the cap going up and the fact that they just moved on from Karl Anthony Towns. They can navigate a lot around the salary cap that they have. That $16 million, if things go well this year for Minnesota, you've got Julius Randle right there. You're going to need every penny of that $16 million and whatever else you have left. It's just the nature of the game. It's Timofey Mozgov getting that massive contract that he got because he was a free agent in the right year. No one has ever stole more money from an NBA franchise than he did.
Well, Chandler Parsons.
It was a free agency period at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
And Shaq understands that.
Yeah, but he also has...
Or he should understand
He also has a microphone in front of him. He has a show. Somebody asked him about it, and like, that's crazy. That's crazy
but that
he's getting
that
much
what
money.
That's not what he says. Like,
oh, he goes... And once again, Shaq goes overboard, just like he did with Joel Embiid. He goes overboard from time to time. I'm not... here to defend everything he does. But I don't think it's jealousy to be like, yo, that's crazy that Rudy Gobert is getting that contract. That's he's not even the top five center in the game today, let alone of all time. He's not better than Domantas Sabonis. And he making how many X dollars more than Sabonis?
A lot.
Yeah, like that's yeah. that don't add up. So it's not, if I say it or even sometimes when Shaq said it's not jealousy, it's like, no, nah, that's crazy. You don't, that's a crazy contract. That's all it is.
I'm calling cap on a couple of things too.
Uh-oh.
This whole notion that Shaq went to LA and Phil said no more acting and all this stuff. That dude's last movie was Kazam.
When was his last movie?
Well, no, it was 96. I mean, he didn't
get there until 99.
No. He did a couple of movies as himself. He did Steel. That was 1997. But somebody realized Shaq sucks at acting, and we're like, yo, we're not. Look, we're going to book Shaq to be Shaq, and that'll be cool. We're just not, Shaq's not a leading man. This, oh, Phil, straighten me out. No, the phone stopped ringing, dog. You literally played you in your first movie under a different name. Get out of here.
When was he rapping?
Stop
that
this.
Was 96.
Oh, no, he rapped out the gate. No. He rapped in 93.
But when did he stop, though? You Can't Stop the Rain was 96, 97.
That was Big was alive, so that must have been 90, 96.
Is it when he came to L.A.? Because I remember that.
You Can't Stop the Rain, absolutely. Side, like, yeah.
So, you know, I think it's more.
Well, no, that wasn't that album, though, was it?
Yeah,
wasn't
it was
that
the one
next
where he's.
Album?
It's like a white album cover. Like, I like playing on the West Side.
That's the one with the big track on it?
I think so. I thought the album was called You Can't Stop the Rain.
The album was called You Can't Stop the Rain, but that was the song. Wasn't that the big song?
Yeah, that was the big song. Okay. And I think on that album was the little G-Funk song he had. That was that. My mom used to love that song. It was good. It was all right song. It was a good song.
All right. Shaq. All right, Shaq Diesel was fire. I'll give Shaq that. Like I enjoyed Shaq Diesel. I thought that was solid. I think that record went platinum. But I think his last record was in '98. I don't even know what song. It was album called Respect.
I don't remember that one.
Yeah, I don't either.
Shaq, I'm looking at the Shaq was wrong.
Ooh, Public Announcement is on it. Good for them.
Well, they back. They're back.
Let's get to Sam here, Elk Grove Kia Talk Line, 916-909-1320. What's happening, Sam?
Hey, how you guys doing?
What's up, Sam? How you doing, man? You ready for the season, man?
Oh, hey, I'll tell you what. I'll be ready to go tonight. We're going to be downtown hooting and hollering. I'll be the guy in the hat, so keep an eye on things. So
you at the game, Sam?
Oh, Sam, absolutely. You kidding me? You guys going to be in the park over there?
No, we're going to be at the game. We're going to be a little higher than where you're at, but, yeah, it's all good.
No, I'm up on top. Well, listen, I tell you what, I took a half a yard, and I got 46.5 on the over on the Kings season. So that was at 46.5. But here's what I wanted to say is that I think that the first shot of the night will be taken by Herter. That's going to be number one prediction.
Okay.
That's going to be a 6-1 odds. But the second thing I want to say is that Herter, if he's in the second half, he has to improve his shooting percentage, because I don't have it in front of me, and I want you to tell me off the air what his first half shooting percentage is and what his second half shooting percentage was last year, and that's what he needs to improve on, because he made a lot of shots the first half and he made very few the second half.
I hear you, Sam.
Sam brought to you by Prize Picks. Like
he's always at a casino, always. And even put money on Herter making the first.
Shout out, Sam. 6-1 odds on Kevin hitting the shot, first shot.
Sam asked his shooting Sam. In the first half of the season or the
game.
First half of
game? I think game. Yeah, I think games.
Yeah, Sam, I'm not looking for that.
I don't even know if that stat exists.
I'm not looking for that. TC,
shout out Sam, man. I love Sam.
He's over there at Sky River. Yeah, you can't tell me any different. Steelin' with KC, brought to you by Sky River Casino. We'll come back. TC, hang tight. We got you next. Phone lines are open for you. 916-909-1320. Steelin' with KC here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. Elk Grove Kia Talk Line here at 916-909-1320. Let's get our man TC in here. TC, what's going
on, baby? TC, what up, baby?
Yes, sir. Top of the afternoon. What's up with my two brothers, man? It's game day.
Yes, sir.
Yes, indeed.
My bad, Jesse. What's up in the back, man? Hey, Kenny. Hey, D-Lo, you gave Kenny my new line, right?
No, I haven't gotten to that yet. I love that TC texted me from a new phone number, said, hey, give this to KC, and then got upset that I didn't know who it was. He texted me from a phone number and said, hey, it's my new number. Make sure you share it with Kenny. Cool. Who's this? It's TC, bro. You forgot? TC forgot what?
Bro, it's a new number.
I'll send it to him right now, TC.
TC, wow, boy. That's my dog, man. That's my dog.
Y'all my dogs, man. I swear y'all my dogs. Hey, Kings win by 7 tonight, man. It's going to be turned up. Y'all going to be fired up. It's fired up right now downtown. I could just feel the energy, bro. Mm. I can't wait for that game tonight, man. Seriously. That's all I got. We ain't going to talk about Niners, man. It's all Kings right now. It's game day. Kevin Herter, you know what, D-Lo? Kenny? Mm. I don't got a problem with Kevin Herter starting with Mike Brown. You know what? I'm not even going to raise it. I mean, because was y'all talking about that earlier when y'all said about Keon, like...
Yeah, you're confusing your stations, start- aren't you? Is that what's happening, CC? CC forgetting which one of his two brothers he's talking to right now.
Nah, it ain't even, listen, it ain't even that. It's just, I'm in my thought box with Kevin, because what I knew what I said about my boy Keon. I was real big on starting him. But then when I turned around and I seen how healthy Kevin is, if he's doing 5-on-5, I'm like, I'm just torn in the middle. That's all it was.
I hear you. I think we've all come around to Herter starting. And a lot of people were worried about that early, like, oh, man, should he start? Like, he should be gone or all of a sudden. No, now, maybe we still need Kevin Herter. Maybe he still work out. I always thought we still needed him in general. I just thought maybe Keon should start. But after seeing some of the stuff in the preseason, yeah, maybe Kevin is best for starting and being a part of that starting five.
We caught our boy slipping.
TC, a fool. TC said, hey, what's up with my two brothers, man? Shout out D-Lo, KC, Jesse in the back. Shout out to Allen.
It's all good, baby.
Shout out Chris. My fault.
You just called us by the wrong name. That's a big no-no, TC. You can't be doing that.
Remember when y'all was talking about? Nah, TC, that... Don't.
What's up, Alan? What's up, Chris? Wait, nope.
Boy, Fonte, what up, baby? It's all good.
Remember when y'all was giving y'all Fast Five? Remember that? No, that's not us. It's not the show.
What's up? Where's my theme music at? Which show gives them theme music?
I think it's the Morning Rose.
Butch and Bonte?
Yeah. Well, shout out TC. TC, you know, he got love for everybody, man. So got love for everybody.
It's all love, man. Yeah. It's all love for sure. I feel like we had thrown the idea of Kevin starting out pretty early, and we started to just try to figure out math. Like, it might not even be possible. And if he starts on the bench, it feels like Mike would be inclined to leave him there. Things might have to go a certain way for that to wind up happening, but that was kind of the thought, right? And then the preseason kind of went the way that it did, and I was a little tough on Keon after that game against Los Angeles, and raised the question that, like, I don't know that Keon has like solidified this spot. If Kevin is back, like, I think there needs to be a conversation there. What I perceived to be Mike's feelings for Kevin is what really gave me pause about that. But ultimately, Kevin was cleared. He was cleared to play on Thursday, and according to Mike, like, he's good to go and he'll start. So I'm anxious to see how that works. I'm really, more than anything, I'm anxious to see how Kevin plays. Mm-hmm. The offense, the lineup is going to be fine. I want to see how they work. As a collective, I want to see how Kevin plays. Mm. That's what I want to see. You know, do we get the old line from the broadcast crew? Well, if he knocks his first one down, watch out.
Yeah.
Do we get one of those, which seems to be a universal line for three-point shooters? They get that first one, they're feeling good.
Or if he knocks down the first one, Sam will win a little bit of money.
Well, Sam will win a little bit of money, indeed. And let's be honest, Sam winning money, that's important here.
go ahead, Jesse.
On a sec, like with Kevin... Last season was really ugly. How much grace does he get this season? And what if it looks a lot like last year? I'm not saying it will, but just question.
What you mean by grace? Like before he gets benched?
I guess it's more so like because Kevin's back from injury, so I figure we're gonna give him time. No one's gonna get frustrated if he has a bad game or two. But what if he's like, I guess, still looking like?
There should be 12 to 15 games the grace period. There should be. Will they be? I think that's a different question. But
so that's what I'm saying. I feel like if Kevin, not for me, but I feel like if Kevin were to just not play great today, I feel like people, Kevin's back. I don't know.
Well, I do.
That's
think,
what I'm kind of asking.
I do think it all comes down to the record, though. Because, like, if Kevin's not playing well, but they're 7-3 to start, then you just, hey, keep working. You know, we'll work through it. But if they're struggling and he's struggling, think maybe thinking 10 games max, huh?
Mm. Yeah, if he's struggling, I don't know how you defend it, I guess. You know what I mean? I don't know. The amount of time in which he's struggling is really starting to add up. Mm. Because it wasn't just last year. Mm-hmm. It started at the very tail end of what we all believe is the good year,
right?
The year they made the playoffs. So, yeah, if there's one player that I want to get off to a really, really good start, it's probably Kevin.
Yeah.
I think a lot of things can be eased,
mm-hmm,
if Kevin gets off to a solid start. 916-909. 1320 if you want to get in here. We got our brother Titus.
Hey.
What up, boy?
Hey, what's up with y'all? Yeah, I just got a couple of things real quick. I'm going to tell a quick story, too, real fast, that happened.
Okay.
Because I'm debating on going to the game tonight, but it's like, now look, I think that DeRozan should be our focus and not Herter. Now let me tell this quick story real quick. So I was at the game, like one of the preseason games, the other game, the one before the last, when they was at home. Mm-hmm. And the Golden One Center need to fix the bathroom situation. So I get kicked out, right? So me and my partner leave out real fast. We can't get back in. I don't know. So I end up telling them, it took about 15 minutes, but I bring up the station. I bring up Real Brothers out of Sacramento, this, that, and the third on my mama. So the lady that's in charge of the line, she was like, her baby dad listens to the radio station, you know, he be tapping in. So she heard the Real Brothers out of Sacramento, right? I swear to God, she was like, hey, walk him on in, this, that, and
let's go. Let's go.
That's all I got.
Hey, shout out to
Titus is real, bro.
Shout out to Titus.
I hate this place, dude. I swear I hate this place.
Titus is a legend,
this
bro.
Is ridiculous.
Oh, that whole story was wild.
This show has hit an entirely new level of ridiculousness. Oh, my God.
Titus is a fool, man. Titus, oh, man. Titus is one of the ghosts, man. Is he rookie of the year?
He might be rookie of the year.
Because I'm trying to think if he called before, but it might be one of
his first season, I think.
Yeah, even Titus rookie.
Titus is rookie of the year right now.
He might be Wimby.
He said, I'm from the Real Brothers of Sacramento. Go right ahead, sir.
I can't. I don't know, man. I guess if you're stuck in a line, just drop D'Lo and KC. What's the worst that could happen?
He said her baby daddy be watching the show.
Oh,
shout out to her baby daddy.
Shout out to everybody listening. Listening, watching, wherever you at. We appreciate it.
Imagine Titus, I can't believe that worked.
And then
what do we do now? Like, how do we follow that?
I don't know. We got like 20 minutes.
20 minutes? We got 2.5 hours left. Oh, man.
The bathroom situation is one of the things, obviously, famously, Steve Ballmer is happy with about the Intuit Dome. And he's like, we got like 147 urinals or something like that. And he kind of broke it down. I was like, it does kind of make sense. Like, I don't know if I'd be like, that's the first thing I'd always be talking about, but bathroom lines at sporting events are kind of crazy. And if you can mitigate that and get people back to where they're going, not bad. Now, if it was B-Lo and JC in L.A., they wouldn't have had that story that Titus just told us because the bathroom scene would have been no issue.
Did you watch any of
I saw like the fourth quarter.
Did you see the wall?
I did see the wall. The wall was popping.
The wall was popping.
The wall was popping. I got the game back on right now in studio.
Nah, the wall was kind of fire. Yeah. They put that work in. The wall was kind of fire.
That place, that arena, the way he has it set up, I wonder what it's going to look like.
The lighting is just beautiful.
I love it. I love the lighting. I love, because now I'm just afraid. Uncle V, if you're listening, do not fall into this trend. Because you see, Miami went to theater lighting. Didn't like that.
I don't think I noticed that.
Yeah, Miami went to theater lighting. People trying to go to don't do it, Uncle V. Don't do it. I love Ballmer's lighting in the Intuit Dome. And he just got, it was the first game, so we'll see how, you know, it progresses. But, man, he just got crazy energy in that place.
Mm-hmm.
Energy is up the entire time in the Intuit Dome. I don't know if it's just the wall or if it's everybody, but the energy crazy in there.
Well, they got James Harden shooting 30 times a game, so.
Does anybody, Kyle agreed with me. Does anybody disagree with my tweet last night? I said James Harden is the least clutch player in the NBA.
I knew
he was just going to fumble and fall or do something ridiculous at the end of that game. There was no chance he was going to win that game.
None.
That's why those two moments that he had against Boston in the playoffs were so surprising because it actually happened in a different way. He's the lead. And look, I don't know what it is. You could just see the nervousness coming out of his pores in clutch situations. He just looks like a deer in headlights at all times. And I knew, I ain't going to say I knew he was going to miss the free throw, but I wasn't surprised. I'll tell you that. I wasn't surprised he missed that second free throw. And then just to fumble the ball. How are you not able to catch? All of a sudden, you're just not able to catch.
We watched this man fall down in a playoff game. In a series deciding playoff game, we watched this man just get eaten by the basketball court. Like, why does anyone act like they expect something else from this man moving forward?
No, he's cooked. He played a good game in that second half, and you know, got their comeback or whatever. But we all knew what time it was when the game got tight.
28 shots last night for that dude.
Mm. And he looked exhausted. How many times was he could get fouled and just lay on the ground for an extra 15 seconds because he was tired?
As many times as it takes, Kenny. As many times as it takes. I love this. Harden turnover seals Clippers overtime loss.
Didn't even miss the shot. Just couldn't catch the ball. What? How does that happen?
Also,
how does that happen? You just can't catch.
I need to talk to Ty Lue. Because who drew up the play and said, hey, let's give old James the ball?
Where you going to go, though?
Well.
Norm Powell? I guess Norm Powell.
Anyone else on the floor?
Would have had a better opportunity. And I'm not even the one that just, like, goes in on Harden like that. But I'm watching that game. I'm just like, it's got no chance of winning this game. None. When it got tight, like, there's not. When they had the in regulation, at the end of regulation, when he didn't know what the hell he was doing as he was winding the clock down and just threw up some trash. I said, oh, man. Every time. Great game, though.
It was a great game. Not what I expected.
What you mean?
I kind of thought Book might go off a little bit. I kind of thought Book might have a, oh boy, okay. Yeah, I'm not going. I don't want to go as far as to say like a game like Tatum had.
Mm-hmm.
I think so far through this, Tatum has had the biggest, like, oh my god. I mean, Anthony Davis was really good. That's kind of what I thought. I thought we'd get 30 plus. I thought we'd get Devin establishing. Yeah, I'm the guy. Come on, man. Mm-hmm. Just reminding everybody, I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not red flags, not concerned, not worried that he didn't. It's just I expected a different type of game. Phoenix winning, that's all that matters for them. But right. I was expecting something different.
Yeah.
And a good game from Beal, who I think people have just started to really disrespect well. A little too casually. Like, I agree. That's a good ball player right there.
I agree 100%. The play that Book fouled out on was just atrocious. Did you see that? The play?
I did.
Like, come on, man. Like, what was that? That was a joke. But I only say that because he didn't even get a chance to be clutch or, you know, pick up his game at the end of that game because of that foul out. But, yeah, I expected more, too. You know, I remember as I was following along with the game earlier, like late in the third, he had like 6 points or something like that. I was like, oh. Huh.
Yeah, he didn't shoot very much. I think he shot like eight or nine times.
Didn't even shoot a lot.
But I guess that's the whole thing. If KD is cooking,
mm-hmm.
and Brad's cooking, you play a different role.
Yeah.
It's not,
there
again,
still should be more shots for you.
I agree. It's not what I expected, but I mean, Tyus Jones shot more than he did. I don't know that that's what I'm looking for, man, but the Clippers, I don't know how the Clippers stay above water. They have guys that can score. Like, you saw a big night from Zubac. I don't know how often that's going to happen. James Harden, 10 of 28, is insane.
That is crazy.
That is just absolutely, because
I was just about to ask you, do you see anything that did you see anything from them last night that made you feel like, oh, man, maybe we overlooked this. They're a little better than, you know, maybe I gave it credit for.
Phoenix or L.A.?
L.A., the
no.
Clippers.
No.
I didn't either.
No, I didn't.
Norm Powell is a good ball player.
But we knew that.
Yeah, and I only say that to say maybe he can give him a little bit more offensive punch than we accounted for. But that's really about it. I don't see.
I don't think Zubac can. Did he have 20 last night? 21.
Yeah.
I don't know that you get. I mean, he's a good ball player.
Zubac is a. I could see him being 14, 15 points a game. I don't know what his career is.
Yeah, that's not your second leading scorer, though.
No, I think maybe Norm Powell's your second leading scorer.
Okay, that's what I thought.
But even then, like, you're still asking him to do a lot. Like, you're asking Norm to all of a sudden be a 19-point-per-game scorer, a 20-point-per-game scorer, while James Harden, who isn't even at the peak of his powers,
yeah,
is leading you. Nah. Yeah, it's...
Imagine a powered-down version of James Harden. Man, that's tough. That is tough. A powered-down version of James Harden.
Zubac last year was 11.7 and 9.2 rebounds. I think that's about the max you can get out of him. Like, maybe you can get him up to 13.
What'd you say it was?
11.7 and 9.2 rebounds. Maybe you can get to a point where he's averaging 13, but anything more than that, you're asking for way too much. Norm Powell last year was, Norm Powell was 13 point, oh, he only played five games, okay. He was 13.9 last year, and the year before he was 17 points per game. I paused because he had a 21.4 average, but he only played five games that year with the Clippers. So maybe you can get him to, 19 points per game, but that's still not enough. It's still not enough. We're talking about Norman Powell, James Harden, and Zubac only giving you like 60 points.
Ain't going to do it, dog.
No.
That ain't going to do it. Ty Lue going to have the coaching job of his career to get something out of the
Clippers. Which is a little sad. I mean, I'm not crying for them at all, but I'm saying a little sad because Ballmer has set up something for that franchise as far as the experience in that arena, that should be something that should be jumping every night. Then if they're a below average team, I wonder what that looks like. I wonder what that looks like halfway through the season.
Kudos to you. Your player to watch. Your player to watch and a player that you told me to watch. Both had great games. We'll start with your guy, LaMelo. That actually was low key a hell of a game.
That was a great game.
Yeah, if you were able to catch that Hornets Bulls game, that was
Rockets
game.
Shout out to Kamara, alerted me. Yeah,
Kamara is all in on the Rockets.
he alerted
and then,
me. He's like, oh, they came back.
They came back.
But I was watching the end. I was listening to the end of the Pacers Pistons game. So I didn't really know what was going on there. Then Kamara was like, yo, the Rockets look nice. When the Pacers game was over, I turned over to that. And they were up like 13. I guess they had been up by 18 in that game. And LaMelo yeah, went crazy.
34, 8, and 11.
He is – I was telling Kyle Madsen this. We were texting last night during the game. I said he has potential to be like a top – I don't want to put a number on it. I won't be afraid. I'll just say he has the potential to be a top five point guard in this league.
Mm-hmm.
He has that type of skill set. I just don't know if he's ever going to grow up to do it. I don't know if he's ever going to mature enough to do it. And this season seems like it's going to tell me a lot about what direction he's going to go as a ball player. And it's one game, but that was a good start. That was a great start. And LaMelo, I'm sitting there, I'm watching it with the family. And Jazz, who's a big LaMelo Ball fan, she says he wins the game or whatever, and they go and talk to him. She's like, oh, turn it up. He's going to say something crazy. I promise you. Yeah, LaMelo did.
What'd he say?
Oh, I can't even say it all. He said something to the, just on the broadcast. He was like, so LaMelo's hilarious because he speaks like these kids, right? So he'll be like, I think she asked him about Kemba Walker or whatever. He's like, oh, yeah, no, you know what I mean? Yeah, Kemba, that's my dog, you know, gang, all day. You know what I'm saying? That's he gang, I'm gang. You know, I F with him, you know, for real. You know what I mean? So,
but he didn't say F.
He didn't say
F. Fam.
He needs training. He needs some meat. And he does it all the time. Like, anytime they talk to him, like, that's how he talks. And she's like, I told you he's going to say something crazy. But he's like, yeah, you know, that's gang. He gang. We gang. You know what I mean? And no, I have foot him heavy. I have foot him. You know what I mean? It is.
I think someone knew you was talking about him. Kamara's here. Elk Grove Kia Talk Line. What's up, man?
My guy.
I missed it. You guys were talking about me?
Nah. Nah, it's good.
That's cold.
Nah.
I mean, you know. Come on, my guy.
We were talking about the...
my two brothers from Sports Talk. I mean, I'm sorry.
Oh, damn. Oh, damn.
That's cold. Okay.
That's how you going on us.
That's cold. All right. I see how we doing it.
Oh, man. But no, so earlier we was talking about, well, you alerted us to the Rockets and Hornets game. I was driving at the time, but I was, through the speakers, I had Pacers Pistons on. And I wasn't even really thinking about Rockets Hornets. So you told us you to be fair though, he's been big on the Rockets since
the end of last season.
Yeah, he was like, nah, they for real. They should have won last night.
Hey, listen. I realized. I was about to say a pause worthy thing. So I just realized it was a little bit too early. It was a little bit too early on that one. And so and then I went to another game. And then, you know, Charlotte came back and Melo just played crazy. Listen, if we're going to get that type of Melo for 70-plus games, Charlotte might be a problem for people, you know.
I think problems is extreme, but I think I did predict them to get into the play-in.
Yeah. So, you know.
But he just got to stay healthy, man.
Listen, we ain't talking about all that. You know, because today is King's Day.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah, so, you know.
What you thinking? Man, how you feeling?
You know, I'm excited and anxiety-based. And listen, it's like, this is it's game time. Mm-hmm. You know, it's almost like I'm suiting up, got sneakers laced. You know, it's like it's ready to go. So I'm excited to see what the product looked like. You know, red velvet back in the starting lineup, get some gravity to the offense. You know, because I know we were just shooting poorly in the preseason, even though I know it's just preseason, but. You know, I'm looking for them to just ratchet up another level, which I expect because De'Aaron's game time. He's always game time. You know, Demonis, he always brings it. Hard hat. You know, DeRozan, you know, vet. So, you know, you know what he's going to bring. Mm-hmm. Keegan, you know, like, listen, it's time to level up this year. Although he took a step up in the defense, it's time to take another step. And, you know, listen, Red Velvet, revenge tour.
Okay.
Let's go.
I'm with it. Appreciate you, Kamara. Thank you as always. We will come back. Our man Mark Haynes joins us for the first time here on this show when dealing with Casey return on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. But the Undertaker will make an appearance that day.
Him and Kane.
Yeah.
So after that happened, they were talking about somebody like start playing highlights about how Batista used to beat his ass. Because you saw what that was in response to.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Batista was talking his talk.
Yeah, yeah.
So they start playing clips of, like, Batista beating Undertaker's ass in the ring. Batista, man. I was out for the Batista era. I wasn't really tapped in, but he was big time, huh?
He was. I think I was a little zoned out during that time. When they stretched to two shows and made the two shows like really, really different, that got hard to, I just didn't have the time to follow that stuff anymore. It's a lot like now. I keep up the best I can through the internet. I know that was around the time Eddie died. I know they had some really good stuff with like Edge, Kurt Angle.
That's ruthless aggression, huh?
Yeah. I mean, Kurt might have left around that time. And then you had, you know, the emergence of John Cena. I think Rey Mysterio had kind of started to take off for the WWE for the first time a little bit. But yeah, Batista was definitely a star. Mm-hmm. He was definitely a big star. He started really late. Like, I think he was close to 40.
Really?
A little bit younger. Mm. Yeah.
What was he doing before that? You know?
No. Lifting weights, I assume. I don't know what that dude was doing. But yeah. He's still better than The Undertaker and Kane, who just turn out to suck. We knew Kane sucked, but God, the more The Undertaker talks, he's just god awful.
Yeah, that was crazy.
You can't be in the top five, buddy.
You already knew what time it was, but that was crazy seeing that video.
Our man Mark Haynes with us here on the phone.
Yeah.
Okay. Mark, what's up, baby?
What's going on, fellas? How y'all doing, man?
Oh, we good, man. We good, man. Excited to have you on today. Excited for a new season. How you feeling headed into King season here?
Hey, man, I'm excited. I'm juiced. It's been a really, really fast summer, and the season felt like it just ended, but we're back with some new ammunition with DeMar DeRozan on the team. So I'm excited to see what it looks like when these guys play some real basketball. I know they, you know, kind of stunk it up in the preseason, but I mean, I'm expecting something different in game one.
Yeah, I mean, I want to know what you're expecting just in general from this team. We were talking earlier about what is deemed a successful season. And, you know, I think I'm alone, and that's okay, when I say getting to a playoff series would be a success. I think a lot of people have expectations that are higher. Like, you got to win a playoff series, and, you know, you have a lot of talent on that team. You should be looking for more than just a playoff series appearance. You should be looking to win one. What's your expectations for this team?
Yeah, I think the minimum should be, you know, making the playoffs. Mm-hmm. I think that should be minimum. Mm-hmm. I think they have to get to at least the second round for me to consider it a successful season. Because this is a team where, you know, obviously they, you know, they won. Was it 46 last year or 48?
46.
Yeah.
46, yeah, 46 games last season, which is, you know, that's a good year. But, the you know, the Western Conference is so deep, there's going to be a lot of good teams that's going to, you know, win a lot of games. But the Sacramento Kings, they're, with adding DeMar into this equation and replacing him for, you know, Harrison Barnes, it should be a easy upgrade that we see immediately. And if that's so, you know, Harrison Barnes made it to the playoffs, you know, 2 years ago or whatever. I would expect they can go a little further this season.
Mark, we learned this week after an off season of a bit of uncertainty. Kevin Huerter's back. Not only is Kevin Huerter back, Kevin Huerter's in the starting lineup. You surprised by that? Is that what you expected?
I am surprised, but I as I thought about it, I started to understand it, especially, you know, how poorly the Kings shot during the preseason. And, you know, usually we talked about all summer and, you know, the latter part of last year, how great of a fit Keon was because how disruptive he was on defense. And now you come into preseason and it wasn't, you know, that wasn't your main concern. Defense wasn't your main concern. Not that they played great defense or anything like that, but just shooting, it was terrible. You know, I don't know if they had a good, you know, 3-point shooting game. Mm-hmm. And, you know, with that being an issue, I understand, you know, throwing in a guy like Kevin Huerter, who, you know, maybe he doesn't play huge minutes, but if he comes in early and, you know, helps set the tone, knock down some open shots. Because it's not like, you know, you go need them to, you know, facilitate or really handle the ball. You got, you know, De'Aaron Fox, DeMar DeRozan, and Sabonis who go take care of that. So just to knock down open shots, you know, I understand trying it out, but I could easily see him, you know, as you know, later on down the road where, you know, they change it up and Keon could be right back in there.
And do you think that's more of maybe Mike Brown having a short lease for Kevin? Like, is it imperative for him to get off to a hot start at the beginning of the season? Or do you think maybe, you know, they'll give him a little leeway, a little grace because he didn't play the preseason at all?
You know, I think so. I think he's going to – I don't think the leash is going to be that short. I think he's going to really give him a chance to, like, get his legs under him because they – you know, I feel like he believes in what, you know, Kevin brings to the team. And then even when, you know, you think back of, you know, to obviously two different players, but you think about when the Warriors got Klay Thompson back and he struggled, you know, for a good, you know, amount of that season matter of fact, I think the whole season actually until the playoffs, I think that's when he kind of started getting back in a better groove. But, you know, I think Mike wants to do similar with Kevin Huerter and see if you could get Kevin back to what he was 2 years ago and flowing with the offense the way he was and, you know, help build his confidence playing with guys in the starting lineup. Mm-hmm.
What's the other big story that you're following here? Obviously, the return of Trey Lyles, that's super important. How this Kevin Huerter, Keon Ellis, two-guard position, even Kevin as a perhaps three at different points in the in a Mike Brown rotation works into play, especially against a team maybe like the Minnesota Timberwolves. What's the outside of Kevin in that two-guard position, what else are you watching really closely here, Mark, as we enter the season tonight?
Well, I'm looking at Keegan Murray. Keegan Murray being having to play that power forward role now, you know, he's going to be, you know, slightly undersized at times, especially, you know, we look at Minnesota tonight, you know, he's going to have to deal with Julius Randle, and that's, you know, that's no fun task right there, but it is a good early test just to see how Keegan can match up with Julius physically. Mm-hmm. And, you know, getting Trey Lyles back and for game one is huge. So I'm like, obviously, we all like the last three seasons we talked about, you know, the shooting guard position, who should start, if it should be Malik Monk, Kevin Huerter, or whatever. Obviously, Keegan is going to start at the power forward position, but just how is that going to impact the team? Is it going to be, you know, positive or negatively? Mm-hmm. It's a lot on Keegan's shoulders. Like each year, you know, Keegan's been expected to, you know, do something really, you know, almost amazing. And to see, you know, Keegan, you know, if he's able to handle this type of role and, you know, if he's strong enough to take care of some of these legit power forwards, you know, I think that's going to be something to really watch for. And I think that could be a, you know, that could be a very important key to their success this year.
Yeah, I look at Keegan as having the opportunity now because DeMar is there and there's a little off of his plate that he can turn into that true two-way, top-flight two-way player that people are hoping he can be because he doesn't have to score 20, 22 points a night or something like that the way we thought. You've got another scorer here. So you can get in where you fit in on the offensive end, but defensively you can raise hell for whoever you're guarding that night on the perimeter. I think this is that's more so what I'm looking for this year with Keegan, to be a true top flight two-way player.
Absolutely, absolutely. He, you know, he has all the tools necessary. You know, he's one of those guys where, you know, he doesn't need to shoot the ball a lot. Mm. And he could really shoot it, you know, and if he could get going, you know, knock down open threes on a consistent basis, like he's shown he could do in the past or whatever, like this could be a really, really good fit, him at the power forward position at times, guarding the other team's best players, whether it's one through four, that's going to be a big, you know, big deal for the Kings and Keegan Murray. Mm-hmm.
What do you expect from De'Aaron? De'Aaron got off to a ridiculous start last year. What do you think we see from the captain this year?
You know, last year, and this may be a unpopular opinion, that he got off to that crazy start right at the beginning of the season last year, like MVP type start. But he was knocking down threes at like 40-something percent, if my mind serves me correct. Mm-hmm. And he shot, I believe, a career high in threes that year. Mm-hmm. And I don't want him shooting as many threes as he shot then, because I felt like that kind of play into the opposing team's favor later on. When his legs kind of got tired, you know, he wasn't shooting the ball as well. But I want him to go back to 2 years ago when he was just dominating the mid-range.
Yeah.
And I think if he gets back to that, I think he'll be undoubtedly an all-star this year. And I think that's the best version of De'Aaron Fox.
Yeah, now I'm with you 100%. I want to see him live in that 15 to 17 foot range where, like you said, 2 years ago, he was automatic. Like he was, yeah. He was not missing from, at least it felt like he was not missing from that range. And I still want to see him incorporate that 3-point shot, because I think, right. You know, it'll open up his game if you have the threat of that. But I'd like to see him do a little bit more in the mid range this year as well.
Do we lose Mark?
No, I'm here.
Oh, no, you're there. Okay. All right. I was like, man, that went clean cut. Mark, we'll see you tonight, yeah?
Yeah, I'll be there. I'll be there. You know, I'm looking forward to it, man. And, you know, maybe we'll see a purple light in the sky tonight.
Let's go, baby.
Oh, that's what
Let's
I'm looking go, for, baby. Man.
Light the beam. Mark, we appreciate you, my man. Thank you, brother.
Thank y'all, man. I appreciate y'all always.